To all you fans, you've waited 50 years for this. Can't thank you enough to all you former players, blokes like ET, guys who busted their backsides for the club and never quite got to enjoy this. I hope you enjoy it. And to all you people back in the Shire, turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast Radio, a podcast about all things Cronulla Sharks. My name is Sam Shenazzi. This podcast is brought to you by Dyson Logistics. My colleague and brother Adam Newman is not here this week. He sends his love and warm regards. He has done a really fantastic interview with Sasaya Fecky, the quietest man in rugby league, and we'll be playing that shortly. The Sharks are coming off a 26-16 win over North Queensland in Townsville last Saturday night. Tale of two halves, that's for sure. The first half was clinical, I thought. Guys like James Maloney, Andrew Fifita really stood up and showed their best form, which is a really good indicator going into the finals series. Matt Pryor had a breakout game. The middle was strengthened by Jaden Brayley, the return of Jaden Brayley, his first game in a few months at least. And with him there running and tackling, the middle was just so strong, and Fifita and Gallen and Pryor in particular dominated, offloaded like crazy, really good, sensible offloads for the most part, and it sure was great to have the young kid back. Now, it's always a good indication when Adam Newman does not send me text during a game that Valentine Holmes is having a good game, and he had a really strong game at fullback, scored a try, set up some tries, saved a try, which didn't get a lot of press throughout the week, but he saved a try, which is a really important thing to do as a fullback, and hopefully he can continue to grow in that position. It's been a little bit of a talking point for Sharks fans, obviously missing Ben Barber from last year, but he's not coming back, Benny. Benny's over in England doing his thing. So we have Val, and you guys know I love him, so I'm a little bit biased, but I actually think he's doing a pretty good job. His passing can obviously be improved, but his strength is running, and he scored that try running into the defensive line, and he needs to do that more, obviously. But he can definitely be a weapon. There was a few nice little plays from scrums where he tried to do a few trick shots, and you know, if that pays off, then we're talking about Val in glorious terms. So, strong game from the future. With Jaden Brayley's return, the line speed was fantastic in defence. Kick pressure was great. Luke Lewis had a bit more impact as well in that regard. I think when he's not relied on to do it the whole game, I think he's probably a lot more effective. And overall, that first half was one of the better halves the Sharks have had for a long time. It's the most first half points they've scored since round 10, 2016, I believe. So that's how good that half was. Game was pretty much over. Cowboys suffered a lot of injuries, and a lot's been talked about with the second half performance from Cronulla against North Queensland, particularly in the press as well as amongst the fans. Personally, I wasn't overly alarmed by it. I would have loved to have scored more points, to have a complete performance, to help the for and against. But mentally, they knew the game was wrapped up. They actually defended pretty well for 70 minutes of the game. They let in two tries, which could come back to haunt them, of course, in the for and against department. It was more the attack was a little bit stop-start and nothing like the first half. So that is a concern, but again, the game was well and truly done. It was almost like they were trying too hard to score, and they went away from playing straight and hard a little bit. So there were reasons why they didn't crack them, as well as North Queensland's defence. Like, they were resilient. They were fantastic. And all the credit they were getting, they deserve. So, you know, we take our Sharkcast hats off to North Queensland because, you know, they were very brave. The word brave gets thrown out a lot, usually by guys like Ricky Stewart and coaches trying to cover their asses. But they were brave, the North Queensland Cowboys. They were really brave. I still think we can cut out some of the penalties and errors. It was an improvement on prior weeks, but there's still some critical times when they are giving away stupid penalties. they could make life a lot easier for themselves without doing that. Here's the positives from the game for all the people that were so upset by the second half. We won the match in North Queensland. At that point, we stayed in the top four, and we're still on the hunt for a top four spot. Fifita ran straight and hard and was effective. Matt Pryor had his best game of the year. Maloney was dominant, clinical, and absolutely the linchpin to that attack. He was helped out in defence this week by Wade Graham and Ricky Lutelli in particular, who had a strong game, and for a while we were scoring points. So for me, the positives definitely outweigh the negatives in that match. Wade Graham picked up an injury, but he should be fine for the match against the Roosters. He's trained well all week. Barring any disasters at the captain's run, he will play this week. Wade Graham and James Maloney also took the guilty early plea at the judiciary. Two minor incidents. One was, well, we say minor, but still pretty bad. Maloney attempted to trip a defender on the way through to the try line. He was fined. And Graham, for a careless high tackle as well, was fined as well. So they don't have any carryover points from those two moments in the game. And they escape any punishment, which is good news heading into the finals. Jaden Brayley came off after about 50 minutes. And James Seguiara came on and played the remainder of the game. We didn't score a try in that time and let in two tries. Now, obviously, you cannot blame that entirely on the fact that Brayley wasn't there and Seguiara was. But, you know, there is some evidence there, and it is becoming a talking point, the relevance of Seguiara and how long he needs to be on the field. So we've had a few letters and emails about that, so we might talk about that a little bit later on, or maybe when Newman's back. I know he's got a few opinions on it. He actually called it out 2 weeks ago. Definitely some talking points and room for improvement and to tinker with that team a little bit more before we get to the finals. All right, we'll take a little break now. Come back with the news.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467 233 153. That's 0467 233 153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
This stage, that's the second time they've had the football, Brisbane. Their second mistake. I'm just handing over possession to Cronulla in good field position now, right on the halfway line.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best run moves you've ever seen.
Now we've come to the time of the show where we read out the news. I'm not going to do that long intro that Newman does because I can't do it as well. This is being recorded on Friday morning, last night. Parramatta Eels shocked the world. A very large win over the Brisbane Broncos. I've got to say, I didn't see it coming. I thought it might be close. I definitely didn't think it'd be that high scoring. Now, that's the same team that did a number on us a few weeks ago, Brisbane, and Parramatta did that to them. The NRL is a weird world, and it changes week to week, that's for sure. What it does mean, though, is that Parramatta have leapfrogged the Sharks for the moment into fourth spot. Cronulla sit in fifth spot with a game to play against the Roosters, who are in third spot. For the moment, both Cronulla and the Roosters have better for and against than the Eels by about 30 points. Here's where it's getting a bit tricky, though. Penrith are on 30 points. If they win against the Dragons on Sunday and the Sharks lose, that's a big if the Sharks lose, they will jump ahead of us. They'll move ahead of us into fifth spot, and the Sharks will move down to sixth spot. Now, we're all hoping the Sharks win. We're on board. We've taken our blue Kool-Aid, and we're going to get behind those boys to win. If the Sharks win, when the Sharks win, they'll move to 34 points and back into fourth spot ahead of the Eels, and they can also move up ahead of the Roosters if they win by more than 4 points, I believe, looking at the ladder right now. Still a long way to go. 2 weeks is a long time. That's a lot of games and a lot of football. That top four, well, the whole ladder, aside from the Storm, who have the minor premiership, the 2 through to 8 is a rocky ride. If the Cowboys beat the Broncos next week and we win both of our games, we could finish top two. But one game at a time. We have the Roosters ahead of us. Bit of lower grade news. The Jets lost again, which isn't overly surprising given the year they've had. No word on what's happening next year, but you'd think they might have to mess around with that system a little bit. There is no Holden Cup next year, so we're all waiting to see what's going to happen with the lower grades at Cronulla. The NYC team continues to roll on. They've achieved amazing things this year. They've won the minor premiership already. They had a big victory, 36-12, over the Cowboys in North Queensland. Kyle Flanagan also broke a record last week. He's now the highest point scorer in a season in NYC history, and it's an amazing accolade, and that won't be broken given there won't be any more NYC. There's also two games to go in the regular season, so he's just going to continue to score points. The grand final is there for them to lose, pretty much. It's a lot of pressure to put on some young guys, but they're clinical. Get down and see them on the weekend. They're fantastic to watch. They throw the ball around. We have heard that the Sharks have signed up around 11 of the guys so far for next year at very least. Don't have names and numbers for you, but you could probably do the math on a bunch of them. Although they were very disappointed to lose Luke Metcalf, which we believe was a money financial decision for him, they have retained at least 11 of the guys moving forward, and they might retain some more. We'll see how that pans out. My boy Sione Katoa, I call him the future number two. He's the leading try scorer in the NYC with 23 tries. And a young fella called Blake Braley, brother of Jaden, he leads the try assists in the NYC as well. There is a lot of potential there for our future NRL status. And hopefully some of those guys will put some pressure on the NRL regulars in the years to come. It'd be great to see. Be awesome to see some more local juniors get a run as well. We all love that. Last home game of the year is always a really, really big occasion. They're not going to play any more games at Shark Park this year. You can send your tweets and your emails and your posts on forums about how unfair it is, but it's just the rules. If we get a home final, it'll be at the Sydney Football Stadium, which is why this Saturday night is so important that we all get down to the game if we can, if we're in the vicinity, if we're able to, if we can afford it. I know times are tough and we're all busy and leading crazy lives, but it's going to be a real spectacle down there. The game itself is going to be a cracker. Third place Roosters against the fifth place Sharks. There's always a bit of feeling between the two teams, but the actual event itself should be fantastic. Post game, 1% rock and roll. The Radiators are playing in the main area of the Leagues Club. And me personally, I'm not a huge fan, but you got to respect the fact they're still kicking around. And for our older listeners, I'm sure that will be a bit of fun. The NYC team, I think the game kicks off around 5:15. If you haven't seen these guys play in the flesh, you'll have a great time, believe me. They throw it around a little bit. They play tough football. They're going to win. They're on a record-breaking streak. And as I said before, there are a lot of players that you're going to see in first grade, hopefully for the Sharks, hopefully. They're also going to be presented with the minor premiership trophy after the match. So if you're there, that'll be a great moment to remember. And obviously to show you support for the club and that team. They're also going to be celebrating some milestones. We had Gal's 300th 2 weeks ago. We had James Maloney's 200th NRL match last week. And this week we have Wade Graham's 200th NRL match. So they're all going to be celebrated for their, those great milestones, as they should be. As a fan, you want to be there for those moments. And now we have the interview with Sasaya Fecky, which our colleague and brother-in-arms, Adam Neumes Newman, did for us earlier in the week at Sharks training. We appreciate Sasaya's time. He's not huge on doing interviews, but he comes across really well, and he's a lovely guy. And he talks about a few things in his game, as well as how the week has been leading into this important match against the Roosters. So here is Sasaya Fecky talking with our very own Adam Newman.
Sharkcast Radio on the road down to training with Sharks try-scoring machine Sasaya Fecky. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good day to be playing.
That's all right. It's all right.
Are you allowed to swear?
Yeah. Oh, no, swear your head off.
No, no, you're not.
It's a podcast. This is independent media.
Oh, this is funny.
We've caught Sasaya Fecky in an unguarded moment. You're always down for a big chat, aren't you? Like, media is your favourite thing to do.
I hate it, to be honest.
All right. We'll try and be as nice as we can. Sweet. Up and down season, mate. What do you put it down to? A couple of really poor performances and a really good first half against the Cows, and then sort of back to a bit of a bludger in the second half. What's the coach putting this down to?
Oh, I couldn't answer your question, to be honest. We didn't have a good first half against the Cowboys, and then the second half we just pretty much fell asleep and let them back into the game, and that's something that we have to work on ourselves at training. And that's what it comes down to, is training.
Can you feel any difference between the vibe from last year and this year?
Yeah, definitely. Last year we were, 15 games in a row, and we just saw, we just knew what we were doing, and it doesn't show this year, but we've still got a lot to work on, and we've still got a few games to try and gel together, and hopefully we make it to the grand final. And
if you can't hear, Andrew Fifita is razzing Fecky in the background here because he doesn't like doing media and he's getting razzed. But we're all friends here. Now, let's talk about the high ball. How much time per week would you spend practicing taking high kicks under pressure?
Pretty much every time we train, after the session, me and Billy always go and kick to each other, and always try and just try and catch the high ball. Yeah.
Do you find that like the hardest part of playing on the wing? Dealing with those high pressure situations.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Like I said before in my other interviews, I've never played wing and always played centre, and just trying to catch the high ball is pretty much the hardest thing.
Who's got the hardest kick to catch?
They haven't really kicked much to me, to be honest. Probably, I've seen Josh Reynolds kick a few. Probably Cleary from Panthers.
Yeah, man.
He loves the spirals, so.
I was here up there in the for the Panthers game last year, and when he was putting those kicks up, it's like moves so much.
It's just lucky it doesn't. He kicks to my side, but it curves back to the left side, to the right side. So
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Works in my favour.
Now, are we going to beat the Roosters this weekend?
I hope so. If we put that performance that we did against them in Central Coast, then we'll definitely beat them.
What is it about playing them? We seem to just do it easy.
It's true. Ever since I've been here, we've always beaten them, and I'm not too sure. Yeah, we just seem to find something and just come to the top.
All right, now it's the last home game of the year. I expect you'd be keen to see this place absolutely packed out.
Yeah, for sure. Love to see the full house here, and hopefully we get the W.
All right, mate. Well, I know you love doing interviews, so I'll let you off the hook. Thanks for talking to Sharkcast Radio. Do you have any messages for our Rusted On fans? And you can swear all you want.
Get down to Shark Park and support the boys.
And fucking get into it.
Definitely.
All right, mate. Cheers. See you later.
Hey Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back.
And now it's time for the letter section. We appreciate all you guys getting in touch with us. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com is the old-fashioned way to find us. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Sharkcastpod. You can send us public messages. You can send us private messages. They all reach us, and hopefully we respond and also recognize you on the show. So thank you very much for everything that's been coming in. We appreciate it. We can never have enough, so don't be shy in your correspondence. First up, we have our regular correspondent, Michael Langridge from Canberra. He discusses some things about next year. He says next year will be interesting. We have identified this season that we have a long-term hooker. However, he needs to add more strings to his bow. We've also identified that we have a player who's a really good winger, but a mediocre fullback. I feel his best skills are served on the wing. We've also bought a fullback whose key skills, in my opinion, do not fit the way fullbacks need to play. We bought him to play centre, but he'll be fullback. Interesting times for Flano ahead. Interesting analysis there, Michael, as always. You're a very smart guy. I don't agree with you about Valentine Holmes being a mediocre fullback. You knew I was going to say that. I can back that up with evidence last week against the Cowboys. It's only one game, but he's been building towards that. Josh Dugan's a mystery to me. When Newman's back, we might get into that a little bit more. He's a bit more pro. I'm a bit more con. So where he's going to play, I'm not sure. It might depend on how Valentine finishes the season. You have to ask yourself, is Dugan a better centre or a better fullback? I don't know what he is, to be honest, but that's just me at the moment. Interestingly enough, I was a very big fan of his when he came into grade at Canberra, and also when he was playing lower grades at Canberra. He was unbelievable, but that was a long time ago. Thank you, Michael, for your correspondence. As always, we appreciate it. Hope you're doing well in Canberra. Now, he had two different letters from two different Bens talking about the same thing, and that was Jaden Brayley and James Seguiaro and their roles in the game. So on email, Ben Press says, "Hey guys, it was great to see Jaden Brayley back on the weekend. Begs the question, do we need Segi coming on for his second half cameos? With Segi on, they look flat and disorganised. We need to put together more solid 80-minute performances as a team, but can this happen if Flano insists on swapping the hookers?" We also had a tweet from Macca. And he says, "How do you rate the signing of Seguiaro? I think Brayley needs to play all 80 minutes." I guess the thing with last week, obviously, was it was Brayley's first game in a few months. So even though he probably could have played longer, it was a wise move. Want to ease him back into the games. It was a great move by Shane Flanagan, actually, to play him last week. He could have been rested another week and he wasn't. And it was the difference in the game. So congratulations to Shane Flanagan on that decision. Back to the point of the questions. Newman and I are of the belief that, and I say that Newman and I only because we have discussed it at length on and off air, Seguiaro is really great for about 20 minutes of matches. He comes on, he's a bit zippy, he's a bit unpredictable. And against a tiring defense, that can be a really, really positive thing. But for an extended period, as Ben said in his email, they do look a little bit more disorganized and a little bit flat. So I think the key is how you play him. I think the signing of him was probably necessary given that Brayley was yet to make his debut. We all had great hopes for him and he's killing it. The amount of money Seguiaro's on, I could probably spend it in a different way. I think he does play a role, but the role has to be limited and it has to be used at the right time. It kind of reminds me of in years gone by when Preston would come on, even Michael Sullivan, just that real flashy utility comes on and does a number and then gets off the field. So if you can play them that way, I think it's a really positive thing. But if you play them like last week where it's virtually one half each, it is going to get a little bit messy. Love to hear your opinion on this. Write to us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Get in touch with us and we will discuss it more as the weeks go on. Okay, Troy from Maitland has written to us. We look like world beaters at the start of the game, fell asleep in the second half. What a difference Brayley makes. How good was he in the first half? His first game for months. Straightened up the attack, makes plenty of tackles, never throws a dud pass, and a great support player. The injury break might have done him good. He was starting to look fatigued before, and now he's bouncing around full of energy again. Hopefully we can knock off the Roosters, who we haven't lost to in years, and the Knights, and head into the finals in the top four on the back of a few wins in a row and some momentum. Keep up the great work. Look forward to the shows. Thank you very much, Troy. That's awesome. Thanks for the positive feedback, as always. We do appreciate it. You're completely right about Brayley. We've discussed it. Happy to discuss it some more. And you put it very succinctly. He straightened up the attack. He made plenty of tackles. His passing is great. And his support play, which is one of the most important things, is fantastic. So he plays the hooking role as you want a hooker to play. And the more we can get out of him, the better we'll be. Troy also said he's hoping to get to Shark Park this week to watch the Roosters. Depends on a few things, but hopefully he'll make it. He's also talking about getting out to the Knights game, which is almost his home turf. So, excellent stuff, Troy. Thank you very much. Hope you're doing well up there. We also had a great week on Twitter. So, thank you very much for that, everyone who got in touch. Sharkcast Pod is the joint account between Newman and myself, covering all things Sharkcast Pod. You can also find Newman at A Rock Newman, capital A Rock Newman, and I'm on at Shinazzy _footy. That's for the more individual thoughts, shall we say. Instagram, Facebook, come and find us. We love talking to you guys.
So Gallen, oh, scrum base play, Barber. Barber scores. Gallen went to the blind side out of the pack. Picked the ball up, gave it in to Barber.
So we have a big match this Saturday night against the Roosters at Shark Park, 7:30 p.m. The team named is, I believe, the same team that ran out last week onto the field. Valentine, the future Holmes, Fecky and Beal on the wings, Capewell and Lutelli in the centres. I should point out Capewell had a really strong game last week as opposed to his game against the Broncos. Halves, James Maloney and Chad Townsend. Front row is Fifita, Brayley and Pryor. Back row, the awesome Luke Lewis, Wade Graham and captain Paul Gallen. The bench is Jason Bikuya, Sam Tangatizi, Jeremy Lattimore and James Seguiaro. That bench was 100% better than the week before as well, I should point out, particularly Bikuya, Tagatizi and Lattimore. And the extended bench is Chris Hyington, Captain America, Joseph Paulo, New Brown and Jesse Ramian. Now you can probably put a line through Jesse Ramian and New Brown, and probably also Captain America, and Chris Hyington will be 18th man and I guess fighting for a spot on that bench, probably in place of Lattimore if he was to replace someone. You've got to feel a bit sorry for Chris Hyington at the moment. Still off contract as far as I'm aware and hasn't played for a little while. He's still got some good games in him. Whether he gets that shot or not, I'm not sure. Admittedly, the last game or two, not his best. So he's been great for us. Lovely fellow. Won a title with us and I hope he gets the recognition he deserves at our club because he has been good since he crossed over from the West Tigers. But we'll see what happens with that. He might play. I'm not sure. He might still play. But at the moment, the team is as per last week. We've won the past six matches against the Roosters. The past three, if you put the scores together, 113-44. So pretty dominant. At Shark Park, we've only lost the one match in the past seven. So it's been five wins and a draw for us. Now, both of these teams make the most errors in the NRL. Hopefully that doesn't have too much of a bearing on the game from our point of view. But we are completing the worst in the entire NRL. We complete least amount of sets. So that's something we need to address, and urgently. The Chooks this year have been pretty good. They're coming third and they've won a whole bunch of games this year by 6 points or less. So they're in the contest, that's for sure. Their away form hasn't been that great. They've won 3 of 8 away from home. And as I mentioned before, I think it was in the news, we have Wade Graham playing his 200th NRL match. He debuted for Penrith in 08. He came to Cronulla in 2011, played a bit of 5'8", put on a bit of weight, became a very good back rower, since represented New South Wales. He's captained our club. He's won a comp with our club. And he's a very important piece of the puzzle. So when he's on, and when he's in a mood, it's great to see. Now, Shane Flanagan loves playing his former club. He was an assistant coach at the Roosters for quite some time. He has his best winning record against the Roosters as a coach. He's won 8 from 11, so a draw and 2 losses. So Flano fires up, that's for sure. I've been talking to a few Roosters friends, and they are adamant they're going to lose this match. They believe they can't beat the Sharks. I think that's nonsense. They're actually quite serious about it. I think it's going to be a really tight game. It's going to be won by 1 to 7 points by one of the teams, and I'm hoping it's our beautiful team, the Cronulla Sharks. It is must win. You need to stay in that top four to be a chance in this competition. And we saw last night Parramatta are firing, and they've jumped ahead of us. The Roosters, if they win, will jump even further ahead of us, so we need to win. And we need to see you down there at Shark Park if you can get there. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be down there. I'm presuming Newman will be down there, which should be fun. I can't wait. It's going to be a great spectacle. Last home game of the year. We won't be back at Shark Park till March next year, so make the most of it while you can. Thanks very much for listening. We appreciate your support. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, and most of the other podcast formats. We will be moving over to a different podcast server in the near future, but we'll keep you posted on that. You don't need to worry about that kind of thing for now. If you can rate and review us, that'd be fantastic. On iTunes in particular, it's quite important. Give us 5 stars. Do a rating. It's not that hard to do. I'm sure you can work it out. You can do the same thing on whatever format you listen to us, and we appreciate that very much. But please do rate and review us. Also, share this on your social media to all your friends and family. The more people hear it, the better it is for everyone. So we appreciate it if you do that. Thanks to our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, Endeavour Services Property, and Shark Island Brewing. We appreciate all of your support very much. We'll speak to you very shortly. Get out and support the boys if you can. If you can't, wear your colours loud and proud. And as we say every week, go you little Sharkies. Time to lift, boys. Go.
Time to see good football for the Sharks.